Friends, let us join in prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, so that as your scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us this day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament passage comes from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 5. Listen for God's word. Once, when Jesus was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing for a testimony to them." But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. But he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A man in torn clothes is covered with a dreaded skin disease. This disease separates him from society and bars him from worship. He bows with his head on the ground and begs to be healed, made clean. How will Jesus respond? With all respect to the Reverend MC Hammer, the Bay Area rapper who gave us this phrase, "You can't touch this." Centuries of biblical teaching, practical experience, and conventional wisdom say, don't get involved. Today, we still wonder, how will God respond to our wounds, our sickness, our brokenness? The contemporary Christian group Royal Taylor asks, can your love reach down this far? Can you hold me together? Because without you holding my heart, I'm falling apart. Today, let us consider three things that we can learn from the way that Jesus did respond. First, Jesus was a healer, as well as a preacher, teacher, and pastor. Second, Calvinism neglects healing or images for fear of idolatry. And third, faith-inspired artwork may be spiritually healing by connecting to Jesus in a way that reaches our senses. First, Jesus was a healer as well as a preacher, teacher, and pastor. When we think of Jesus, what may come to mind is a wise teacher. He had a group of disciples who followed him around. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee and other parts of Israel and spoke to crowds of people who came out to hear what he had to say. He got them to think in a new way about who God is and about themselves in relationship to God and what religion really is and should be about. We may forget that Jesus is a healer. He did amazing miracles of healing that totally changed people's lives. He restored them physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And of course, Jesus had the power to do this since he is God. If we think about it, it makes sense that Jesus would want to heal people. He's not just a kind and thoughtful person. Jesus is the Lord, the Son of God who is somehow equal with God. All throughout history, ever since God created everything by his powerful word, God has cared for and taken care of creation, including people, specific individuals whom God knows by name. It's remarkable. So when God became a human being in Jesus Christ, he made real for people the good news that he was telling them about. Throughout the Gospels, we read of the ways in which Jesus spoke and answered questions, the ways that he opened people's eyes and ears and hearts to know more about God and to draw near to him as our loving Heavenly Father. Through Jesus' teaching, proclamation, and leadership, he brought spiritual healing, forgiveness, and grace to people. He also miraculously, by his word, gave people physical healing. We see in this passage from Luke chapter 5, a time early in Jesus' public ministry, Jesus both commanded and actually reached out to touch and heal a man who was covered with leprosy. We were reminded in the Old Testament passage from Leviticus about God's teachings on the seriousness of contagious skin diseases. In order to protect the community and the wider society, a person had to be separated, not live with their family for a time. So they had to be quarantined, and they couldn't remain with their family members. They had to go outside the camp when they were living in tents or outside the city walls. And it was the leper's responsibility to wear torn clothes, to cover his or her mouth and cry out, "Unclean!" so that anyone who might come close would be aware of the danger. In order to prevent the spread of the diseases, no one was to accidentally have physical contact with that person or his or her clothes. And the afflicted person was ritually unclean. They couldn't bring their sickness into the midst of worship. Someone in contact with a leper also was rendered impure. And the priest was consulted to check with the person on a weekly trial basis to determine if this was a temporary health crisis or a long-term state of being. And it was only the priest who could officially confirm that the person's skin disease had been healed and was no longer a threat. If so, that person was once again considered clean. Then the law that God gave to Moses indicated a process to restore that person to the community. He or she would give an offering to God, presenting a particular sacrifice of thanksgiving. So it is spectacular that Jesus had anything to do with the leper who bowed down to him and begged for healing. Jesus had just before this called Peter, James, and John to follow him. He had taught a big crowd of people who were gathered by the lake shore. Jesus was in a boat, and he made a miraculous catch of fish for the fishermen. This got Simon Peter and James and John's attention. And Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And maybe they said, "I don't know what that means. I'm going to follow this man who just did a miracle, who teaches in a way that I haven't heard before." So Jesus was walking on his way when he stopped to help this man whose leprosy was visible to all. And notice that the man spoke in faith. He said, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." The man boldly addressed Jesus respectfully and trusted in his power. He wanted to know if Jesus' kindness extended to him in his painful and isolating condition. He asked not only to be healed physically, but to be made clean again, to be restored as a member of the community. Without a moment's hesitation, Jesus reached out and touched the man. He said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, the sickness left the man and he was healed. Jesus knew that by his powerful word, the word of God would heal the man and he would be well again. But Jesus also was sensitive to the fact that his tangible gesture of reaching out to touch the leper would be meaningful. It must have been unforgettable for the man himself and for everybody who saw it. Jesus was not concerned that he himself would become ritually unclean, unfit to worship God. Jesus had already let go of his rightful holiness and purity when he emptied himself of his divine majesty to take the form of a human being. That's who Jesus is. That's what he did. Now, Jesus instructed the man, "Don't tell anybody. Just follow God's commands. Go to the priest, get yourself officially made clean and approved. Make the offering as a thanksgiving to God for all that this healing represents in your life." But we know that the news of what Jesus did spread like wildfire. More and more people came to hear him teach and to be healed by him. But Jesus went away to spend time in prayer. He deflected the praise of the crowds. He concentrated on his work. How true. When the news of Jesus' power to heal spread, the people came out. They wanted to hear what he had to say, and they were hoping, maybe he will heal me too. What is he going to do next? So often we are in danger of seeking God for what he can do for us when we are in need, rather than drawing near to listen to his word, to continually learn from him and consider, what is God teaching me? So often the image of Jesus reaching out to touch the leper stays in our mind's eye, when it is not just his hand, but his word and loving heart that bring healing and restoration. And this is why Calvinism neglects healing or our emphasis on images for fear of idolatry. It is our human tendency to focus on images and things. And I'm a visual learner. We talk about multiple intelligences. I really resonate with images and they stay with me. We can be distracted by what our eyes see and lose focus on listening with our ears. Jesus simultaneously said the word that made the man well. And in many other miracles of healing, it was when Jesus spoke the words that the person was instantly made well, even from a far distance. Calvinism, Presbyterianism is part of Calvinism in the Reformed tradition. This way of thinking is determined to uphold God's commandments. And we know the second commandment, do not make any images of God or anything else that can be worshiped as God or worshiped alongside of God. And in the Reformed tradition, we understand that to include a prohibition against worshiping images of Christ, who we understand is God. I think the Second Helvetic or Swiss Confession in our Book of Confession says it well. Although Christ assumed human nature, yet he did not on that account assume it in order to provide a model for carvers and painters. It states the matter pretty clearly, and as is appropriate, We look around our sanctuary today and we don't see any images, no paintings or statues to distract us from God's word. We want to worship God alone with our whole heart as he speaks to us by his word and spirit. So I want to say carefully my final point. I think that we Presbyterians can responsibly use art in contexts other than worship if we approach it not as a means of devotion. We shouldn't expect to learn from an image because it is a human creation. It's an interpretation that could be incorrect or confusing or even harmful. God has taught us that he is willing and able to give us the fullness of insight about himself in the Bible, which he enlivens by his spirit. But I want to suggest that some faithful artwork may be spiritually healing by connecting to Jesus in a way that reaches our senses. Many here would agree that it's important to read the book before you see the movie. Am I right? How many times have we seen a movie version of a book that we really loved and been disappointed? There are just too many ways for a finite production to fail to live up to the vision we made in our imagination. The people who never read the book might like the movie just fine. And when viewing artwork that intends to portray Jesus, I think our wisest course of action is first to be familiar with the Bible's accounts of him. And then we'll be able to judge whether the artwork is faithful, if it rings true to what we know about who Jesus is and what we believe about him. We may find that an artwork resonates with Scripture and gives us a sense of recognition, that aha moment. We might find ourselves agreeing, yes, perhaps when Jesus reached out to heal the leper, it might have looked something like this. I've been thinking about this because I'm really interested in Rembrandt as an artist who was a person of faith. And I was studying some late drawings that he did of this very Bible passage. And some scholars say that, you know, it's the fact that the Bible was made into the common language of the people. And the Netherlands, the Dutch people, had a Dutch Bible. And Rembrandt himself, his mother was Catholic and his father was Reformed. And he would try to portray that moment in a biblical story that was the turning point. And he even challenged his students to think about it and come up with their own interpretation. What it might have looked like if you had been there when this really happened. And in a way, he was promoting exegesis by the common people, interpreting scripture for themselves, and trying to portray how God spoke to them about what it was like when this really happened. In a late drawing of Rembrandt, maybe the leper had a humble, joyful hint of a smile when he first felt healed. Maybe Jesus turned and stooped down to reach the man in a way that extended kindness and healing powerfully but gently. Maybe the other sick people on the side of the leper were serious, even as they dared to look at Jesus with hope. Maybe the men following Jesus looked over gravely, but with a strange delight that he was doing such a miracle. Maybe some of the other people nearby clasped their hands in prayer or concern while this event was taking place. Maybe. I encourage you all to go see an exhibit at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. It's Rembrandt's paintings of the faces of Jesus. and it's there until the end of October. And we are going to be taking a field trip. Ann Gordon and I are leading it, and it's going to be on Friday the 28th, and we have just a couple spaces left, and we really hope that you could join us. And I'll be talking about it at the Senior Breakfast Club at the inn. In some ways, I think that God can use different means to add a little insight or help us to think in ways that relate to our lives through Christian art. Maybe, maybe not. I'll leave that open to see what you think. And in all these things, as long as we keep going back to the Word revealed in Scripture and the living Word incarnate, Jesus Christ himself, may he indeed bring us healing in the midst of our situations today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.